I think they're extremely active up front. You know, it starts with Jernigan, but they got two deep. I mean, they got guys in the backups that were five stars a couple years back. And, so I think they're active. They play on your side of the line of scrimmage, something we got to keep them from doing. And then their two linebackers are probably as fast side to side as anybody you've seen. And so you had those guys in Joyner and the guys on the back end. You can have a play that looks pretty good at the beginning that maybe you think is going to gain 8, 10, 12 yards, and they recover so well, it's 3-4 yard gain. So they got great team pursuit, and I think their overall team speed probably is the best thing they have.
What do you think about their corners? For this game, what would you say is the best set of corners Auburn's faced this year?
Oh, man. For this game, I really don't know who the best we played are. I'd have to think longer than that. But these guys are probably right up there, and we'll know Monday night. They may very well be the best. There's nothing I've seen on film that leads me to believe they're not the two best we played. They're confident, you can tell. They can play press man. They can play off. They can play man. They can play zone. They're very well coached, very confident guys. And, you know, when you look at a team that has 25 interceptions, I think, 16 different players with interceptions. You know they got some ball hawks back there. So, you know, you look at all the bowl games, it's going to be on us to not turn the football over. The team's turning it over, the team's losing.
Have you all faced a team that has played good press man defense against you all yet?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, I mean, Alabama plays press man, LSU plays press man, Georgia, and SEC, everybody plays press man. So, you know, it won't be anything new from a schematic advantage. It'll just come down to, you know, who executes and who wins the one-on-one battles more than anything.
How long have you known Malzahn?
Probably since about 96. I was a seventh grader at Shiloh he came as a head coach. So, you know, we go way back, both as player and coach.
What were your first impressions of him? I mean, probably not remembering too far back in middle school, but...
Yeah, when I was in seventh grade, he showed up. He was the new head coach, and I think he was the dean of students. And, you know, coach hadn't changed much. He's very business, very single-minded and focused on what's at hand. He's a disciplinarian, so he wasn't the kind of coach that's in the hall cutting up. He's doing his job. Had a little bit of that fear factor that you would think from a seventh grader you'd see from your head high school coach. So he earned everybody's respect real quick. You know, and then, of course, over the next few years, as I got to play for him more, you know, I got to see why he is the way he is and why he's successful.
Well, do you think that demeanor is why he's so successful or a big part of it? Or?
I think so. You know, he has a unique ability to be steady and consistent and be true to who he is no matter what. You know, when it's all about football, he, like I said, he's focused. There's nothing that could be an outside distraction. It's all about attention to detail, being a perfectionist, the discipline of things. He doesn't change from who he is. He hadn't changed from when I was in seventh grade to now. You know, away from football, whenever that is, which is not very often for us, you know, you see him cut loose, and he's got a lot more personality probably than people think. But he does a good job of being all business-like when it comes to football.
How has his system changed from when you had it in high school to now?
You know, the core foundation of it hasn't. The philosophy is the same. We want to go fast. You know, back then, the play clock used to be different. They would wait, set the ball, then start the 25-second clock. So, you know, we had more of a philosophy of snap the ball within the first 5 seconds of the clock being blown into play. Now they just roll it to 40, and here you go. So we really just try to go as fast as we possibly can. That hadn't changed. And the core plays, run, pass, same things I was running when I played, believe it or not. Now, a lot of it evolves over time. You got to tweak either to the league you're in, to your personnel. Obviously, I didn't run near as much zone read as Nick's running. But so we changed things here or there, but the core foundation hadn't changed a bit.
Actually, can you talk just a little bit about as much zone read as you guys – since the LSU game, you guys run a lot more zone read.
Yeah.
Can you talk about what was behind that decision?
I'd say, you know, we're real big on – we've got our philosophy. That's never going to change. But we try to take the guys we have and put them in position to do what they do best. You know, for example, last year we had a senior quarterback, played a lot of ball, and we weren't maybe as talented up front on the offensive line, so we threw more to open up the run. Now, we still ran for 200-plus yards a game, but it was a little different. You know, I think those first four games this year, we were kind of filling out our players, our personnel. They were doing the same for us. You know, other than LSU, we were able to win those games, which helped. And I think after the LSU game, we had a bye week, and we were able to really decide on where we were going to be moving forward. At halftime, LSU, we made the adjustment to run more zone read in the second half, pick up the tempo a little bit. It worked for us. And so from that point on, we tried to build on that. And we had 2 weeks to really hone in and maybe do a couple extra things here or there to get ready for that.
Because you hadn't done a whole lot of zone blocking before that, from what I've seen.
Yeah, you know, we've always ran zone with the gap game. You know, like I said, early on in the season, I don't think we knew – we knew Nick was a great athlete. I don't know if we knew how dynamic of a playmaker he could be. And I think also for Nick, those first two, three games, he's doing a lot of thinking. And it doesn't matter if it's drop back passing game or running. The more you're thinking, the slower you're going to react. I think probably about that same time we had the off week, he started feeling really comfortable with the base of what we were doing. And so his play obviously picked up and got better. And I think when he obviously started being able to just react and play faster, not only was he a better passer, but I think you saw his running ability really went up too.
What is it about the offense that makes it versatile? Because I'm thinking back when he was at Tulsa, had the top passing offense in the country, or one of the top three in 07 and 08, and then now the best rushing offense in the country. What makes that versatile?
Well, it always goes back to balance. And our biggest goal as an offensive philosophy is we want to be balanced to be able to take what the defense gives us. You know, I look back to when I played, when he was at Tulsa, we were throwing for 5,000 yards a game.
Right.
But we've always had the downhill run game. And, you know, obviously in the SEC, you need that more. And so we just pride ourselves on being able to run it and to throw it and take what the defense gives us. So this year's probably been a little more skewed than ever, heavier one way or the other, obviously with the run. But we've tried to, you know, just do a good job of coaching and do what we do well.
And that's just based on what they give you and then the talent of the team?
Yeah, a lot of times it's based on numbers, it's based on looks, who you're playing, what your personnel does well. You know, this year there's been times we probably ran into heavier numbers more so than we would in the past. But, you know, with the way we've kind of evolved this year, that's been something that's just kind of been a little different.
Brett, I'm going to change the subject here for a moment. I'm asking all the players basically what they feel like is the funniest thing about Malzahn that most people don't know.
So I thought you said you were asking all the players. Why are you asking me?
Well, no, I want to see the coaching view too. So.
Oh, man, I don't know what the funniest thing is about him. You know, he gets pretty intense on game day. And, you know, Coach doesn't cuss, but he can make up some funny words sometimes.
What are some of the words he's made up?
Man, I'm not going to put him on the spot with those. But I'll say this. He loves Mexican food. I mean, he's a sucker for Mexican food if y'all ever get him outside of football. But, Coach has his own quirks, but I'm going to leave it at that. I like my job.
So another thing, in terms of bowl preparation, one of the things that obviously complicates things is all the time off.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can get obviously to the point where you're trying to prepare for what they've shown, for their tendencies. You know what your you've self-scouted by quite a bit. You know what your tendencies are, what they're going to have prepared for.
Yep.
So how do you start working in contingencies to go against what they're doing but not necessarily do all of the same stuff that you've shown in terms of tendencies to sort of throw tendency breakers in there without getting to the point of overthinking and over-contingency, you know, getting in that point?
It's a fine line because you got 30 days. So as a coach, the first thing you want to make sure you do is you don't want to do too much and try to rethink the room. I mean, you know, they're playing in the national championship game with the number one defense in the country for a reason. You know, we've been able to get here because we've been obviously good at something. So you don't want to stray too far from what got you here. You know, I think that would be the biggest mistake you can make. At the same time, you're right. You've had a chance to maybe evaluate yourself, look at yourself from their point of view more so than normal. And, you know, you got to do some things to, whether it is break tendencies, add some new wrinkles. You've got to have some new stuff. You can't just line up and do what they've had 30 days to practice on. So there's that fine line. You don't want to change too much, but you can't not change anything. And so that's probably the fine line that both they and us have to kind of walk. And hopefully we'll see on Monday who's done the best at that.
Yeah, one other thing, in terms of how you kind of expect them to do their work, are you expecting them to bring some more pressure on first down to try to force you guys to dictate to you guys a little bit, or are you expecting, you know, them to sort of two gap and try to sit a little bit or accommodate?
The good thing about the 30 days, we've been able to prepare for both scenarios. You know, you know what they've done, you know what they're capable of, but you don't really know what they're going to do till you get there. And you know, Jeremy's done a good job this year mixing it up. They've got they've shown they can pressure you on first down, obviously on second down, and definitely on third down. So he's got a great pressure packages, a bunch of different ways he can do it, whether it's to pressure the pass or the run. They got multiple fronts too. So, you know, you got to kind of prepare for everything. As a coach, you try to spend the bulk of your time on what you really project they'll do. But, you know, we got to have an answer. The game will be about adjustments on both sides of the ball. You get 30 days off, you get in the game, you know, the first quarter or so, you kind of fill it out and figure it out. And then it's from that point on, it's who can adjust, not only from coaching staff, but what players can take adjustments and execute them. You don't have to, right? Y'all can be done. No, I'm just kidding.
was something to do with tempo and algorithm.
But I mean, we could ask about tempo. I mean, that's easy. But I mean, in terms of how they, you know, one of the things you guys were able to do to Alabama. Alabama loves to, you know, to call plays against plays, right?
Yep.
You know, that's Kirby and Nick.
Yep.
That's what they do. That tree. You know, they want it. They see the formation and they're going to call what they've got against it. And you know, there's that chess game at the line.
Yeah.
How did in terms of tempo? How does that work in terms of you not just going fast, but adjusting your tempo? You know, you guys run more than one speed.
Right.
How does that impact, you know, the way that the defense can sort of adjust to what you guys are doing?
It impacts it, I think, a lot, especially defenses like Alabama and Jeremy and those guys that, you know, they want to be personnel driven. They want to wait and see what you got to make their call. You know, that's a big part of our philosophy, not just going fast for tempo and pace and wearing down your opponent, but also, you know, to hopefully try to put the defense in a situation where they've got to, I don't know if it'd be simpler, but they have to be, you know, a little more, they got to make decisions quicker. They can't, they don't have time to wait and change personnel groupings, all that stuff. They've kind of got to make their call and go play.
Yeah, they can't disguise it much.
With how much they've blown teams out this year and have pulled their starters so early, that made it tough to scout them.
Yeah, I mean, you watch film and their backups are in more than their starters. I mean, so it's hard to really get a gauge on what it would be like if they played four full quarters. You know, I'm sure they'd be just fine. Nobody's been within two touchdowns of them. So, you know, that's made it kind of interesting. Every time you turn on a film, it's 59-0, it's 49-3, 62 to whatever. And you just kind of wonder. They play a half and they take the second half off.
How did y'all go about doing that? Did you like cut it up and say, "Hey, here's all the reps with the ones," and then start looking at the twos, or how did
not at first, and then you know over time you kind of look at it a little more that way, see if you can pick anything up. But I'll say this: their backups are obviously really good to be playing half the time, and they still got the number one ranked defense in the country. So
that's true. It's killed their sack numbers.
Yeah, they're pretty deep.
They got no line depth, so the backup gets sacked all the time. they're asking Ellis about it yesterday. He's like, I don't see him second James a lot.
Yeah.
So.